Hi, Wesley. This is Jerry Newcomb.
There we go.
Hey, so good to talk with you, and thank you, Christine, for filling in there. All right, you have a new book, and it's very, very important, and you deal with the theme how people are the enemy, supposedly, according to a prevailing mindset that's beginning to get a lot of traction in the Western world.
Yeah, it's pretty unfortunate. This book is about what has happened to the environmental movement, which has brought us so much good, you know, cleaned up dirty rivers. And certainly when I was in Los Angeles as a kid, the air was so thick with smog you could eat it with a fork. And good environmental practices that promote human thriving and also promote the responsible use of the environment has done a tremendous amount of good for the world. But in the recent, let's say the last 10 years, a distinct anti-humanism has infected the movement. How often, Jerry, do you hear about environmentalists, particularly in the global warming debate, call human beings the cancer on the earth, human beings the AIDS virus on the earth? It's very unhealthy to call human beings those kinds of terms. And this is not just the far-out radical fringe. Sir David Attenborough, we've all heard of him. He's the fellow who's done those tremendous wildlife documentaries. He's
right.
As establishment as you get. He's called human beings the, quote, plague on the earth. He has said that we need to have radical depopulation. He has applauded China's one-child policy, which has pursued forced abortion, female infanticide, terrible tyranny. And so you see when you move away from a pro-human environmentalism to an anti-human environmentalism, it becomes very dangerous.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Sir Richard Attenborough. Isn't he the same man that has that wonderful video that's been going viral where he's taking the words from that old Louis Armstrong song, What a Wonderful World This Is, and he's just reading it, but he reads it really well, and then they're showing you these incredible images of God's creation, you know, of all kinds of different things, and it's for some sort of program on BBC, but it's such a classic video. Have you seen it? Anyway,
I haven't seen that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
The problem is that rather than viewing this as God's creation to which human beings are stewards, many in current environmentalism see it's almost a quasi-nature worship.
Yeah.
The fiduciary or the worship or the obligation is to nature. Let me give you a very good example. You've heard of animal rights,
sure.
Which is creating which has to be distinguished from animal welfare, which creates a moral equivalency between humans and animals. Well, now they're pushing nature rights. And let me read to you nature rights from the Ecuador Constitution. Nature or Pachamama. Pachamama is the Incan earth goddess, by the way, whose life is reproduced and exists, has the right to exist, persist, maintain, and regenerate its vital cycles. This is a right to life for nature. As I mentioned, Ecuador has it in its constitution. Bolivia has it in its laws. You might say, well, Wesley, these are two small South American countries, so what? 30 United States cities have the rights of nature, including Pittsburgh and Santa Monica. I grew up in L.A., Jerry. I know Santa Monica like the back of my hand. There's no nature left in Santa Monica. So why would they do that? It's a declaration that human beings have no greater importance than flora and fauna. And this nature rights idea allows anybody to bring a lawsuit if they feel that some kind of a development or some kind of a human activity is interfering with the rights of the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees, right? Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General of the United Nations, supports nature rights. It's been proposed for inclusion in the United Nations Treaty on Global Warming. Now imagine if there is an international treaty allowing nature rights in which anybody can sue to prevent any major human activity. It will destroy prosperity, it will destroy the economy, and even worse, it will keep destitute countries such as in the sub-Saharan Africa completely in destitution and misery.
Oh.
What would be the best thing you could do for Africa? How about an electric grid that electrified the entire continent?
Yes.
And allowed water treatment facilities, allowed better access to good hospital care and so forth?
Yes.
There are people in the environmental movement today who say, no, we cannot do that until it is all renewables, which will take decades, meaning we have to keep those people mired in misery to, quote, save the Earth. That's why in the Global Warming Treaty, you see a proposal for the transfer of trillions of dollars away from the developed, prosperous world that got here through pro-human practices and pro-human environmental regulations to the poor countries. But that's only going to keep them poor and mired in dependency. This isn't compassion.
Let me ask you a question. What about clean water? Does that fit in anywhere? I mean, I'm just curious if that is part of the equation, you know, in any way.
Well, it should be. Of course, we want clean water. But you don't have to have the rights of nature for humans to say, listen, we have to make sure that we use our water responsibly. We've done that for the last 100 years. As I said, we cleaned up L.A. smog.
Yeah.
We've protected endangered species. We've protected wilderness. New Zealand has declared the, let me get the name of it. Yes, here it is. I don't have the name of it, I'm sorry, but New Zealand has declared a river, one of its rivers, to be a Oh, here it is, yes. The Whanganui River is a person under the law in New Zealand, an integrated living whole possessing, quote, rights and interests.
Wow.
That means that anytime human beings want to do anything that might impact the river, that river gets equal value to human rights. Now, look at Yellowstone. That's one of my favorite places on Earth. If anyone hasn't been there, they should go. You want to see God's creation in its full beauty. You want to see the glory of animals like bison and bear and incredible elk. Go to Yellowstone. We protected Yellowstone without naming Old Faithful Geyser to be a person. And look at how this can really that this hurts real people. And this is a recent story. There's a town in Alaska called King Cove. It's an isolated fishing village, about 1,000 people, way up in some of the far reaches of Alaska, close to the Aleutian Islands. You know, in that area of Alaska, the only way to get anywhere is by plane. Well, they have an airport, but it's not an all-weather airport, and there are about 200 days per year in King Cove that are inclement. They have asked, and because of that, people who are sick, who suffer, let's say, an emergency, need emergency surgery, they have asked to be able to cut a road through the wilderness to another airport so they can evacuate their sick people. And the Secretary of Interior, Sally Jewell, said no. She said, quote, I've listened to your stories. Now I have to listen to the animals. 19 people have died in King Cove in recent years because they were not able to get to hospital. This road would help alleviate that, and our government said no.
Wow. So in other words, one-third of the year is only the time that they're able to fly out of the King Cove, but this road would save lives, but the administration
says
no. The
Interior said no, and they've said no in the past, so King Cove, you know, they would have to cut through a federal preserve. King Cove offered a land swap to make sure that the animals were fine, and they still said no. This is putting animals above humans. This is putting nature above humans, and this is the kind of destructive thing that follows when you pursue anti-human environmental policies, which is the point of my book, War on Humans.
Now, Wesley J. Smith, whom we're talking with right now, is a fellow with the Discovery Institute. Boy, I'm so sorry we had a mix-up on the phones, because I love talking with you. Your research and your writings are just so important. Do you mind? I know this is a little bit off the topic of the book, but it's not necessarily. Do you mind just mentioning that thing about Belgium? Because just the other day, the King of Belgium signed into law a law that ought to give all of us you know, goosebumps.
Yeah, in fact, these are all connected.
It's symptomatic of the same phenomenon.
Yeah, as you know, Jerry, my work is about promoting the dignity of human life. And human exceptionalism, which also means we have duties, for example, to treat the environment properly.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of issues that might not seem to connect are connected on this overarching theme. Belgium just passed a law allowing child euthanasia. There's no age limit for sick children to be killed by doctors. The child even has to write a note asking to be killed. Can you imagine anything more cruel?
Goodness.
So you can see how this is connected. In Switzerland, to give you a better picture, they've declared in their constitution the individual dignity of plants, and this is the same country that allows suicide clinics to which people fly from all over the world to be made dead. The most recent case was an Italian woman who was in her 80s who was depressed because she'd lost her beauty, and they helped kill her. And it's also the country that makes it illegal to flush goldfish down the toilet. So you see, when you give up on the intrinsic dignity, the unique value of human life, you go a little crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay,
but this stuff is coming, and the biggest danger we have is, oh well, it can't happen here. It can happen here. It is happening here. In Oregon, they allow assisted suicide. They ration health care under Medicaid. In 2008, a woman named Barbara Wagner was dying of cancer, lung cancer. Her doctor prescribed chemotherapy, not to save her life, but to extend it 9 months or a year. That's typical for cancer treatment. The state of Oregon said, no, we won't pay to keep your life going, but we will pay for your assisted suicide.
Oh, man.
That's what happens.
Wow. All right, Wesley J. Smith, go ahead and give us the information on the book and where people can get it.
Sure. There's a documentary that goes along with it free on YouTube, waronhumans.com, waronhumans.com, and then it's an e-book available on Kindle, Nook, and iPhone, and those links are all available at waronhumans.com. Mm.
Thank you for all you do, and if it's all right, I want to see if we can get you back and we can get a full half hour out of
this. Yeah, that'll be fine, Jerry. I know that we just had a technical problem here, we'll do it again.
All right. Thank you so much now. Appreciate
it.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye now. Again, that's Wesley J. Smith, and the book is War on Humans, and as he mentioned, there's also a YouTube video, waronhumans.com. This is Jerry Newcomb. We'll hope to see you tomorrow night, especially if you're local, at the gracenetradio.com Comedy Cafe. For more information, just log on to gracenetradio.com. Make sure you come and hear our guests, Christine Snieringer and Brad Stein, and I guess yours truly will be co-emceeing there with John St. George. We look forward to it, and thank you, Mike at the mic, for all you do, and Carl Foster, and of course, Dolores King St. George. All right, this is Jerry Newcomb saying bye-bye, and we'll see you next week. God bless, and have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Vocal Point. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNetRadio.com or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. Join us next Thursday at noon for Vocal Point on GraceNetRadio.com.